Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source. I'm your host, Jace, returning with Spawn Daily. Can't believe it's been this long. 2 weeks, I think I missed. Just a horrible sort of storm of events. I think I mentioned my car blew up, as you guys know, and I got a new one, and there was problems. I had to take it back multiple times to the dealership. Then my wife got sick. Then my video card died on me. So I know they're all excuses. I should have had a bunch of episodes banked, so if something like this happened, I wouldn't miss, especially not this long again. So that's what I'm attempting to do now. Attempting to get a bunch banked. I'll probably release one a day while I'm building up that surplus, and then hopefully I'll start releasing more than one a day, maybe just for a little while to at least try to get caught up to where I would have been. We already know this is going to take over a year to get caught up, because in the meantime, while I'm going back and reading these older Spawn issues, the new Spawn stuff is coming out and being very well received, right? Sam and Twitch Case Files, Rat City, the Erica Schultz penned series about a Spawn in the future. That sold out. Issue one sold out. It was very well received critically, and also fans really seemed to enjoy it. So that's going to a second printing. So there's a lot of really great Spawn stuff going on right now, and it's just making me even more anxious to get caught up. I mean, I'm almost up to issue 100 right now, while also reading the ancillary stuff as well. So just a reminder, this daily Spawn reading order does use a reading order put together by a gentleman named Blake Whitlow. If you've been watching all the Spawn dailies up to this point, you've seen his face. He was able to join me for a few of them. Unfortunately, I'm flying solo right now. I would love for Blake to be able to come back on, and he would love to come back on. It just life doesn't allow that right now, but maybe sometime in the future. But anyway, that's the reading order we're using. Whenever it's an episode focused on an issue of the regular series, it will be one issue per episode. But when we get to the tie-in stuff, whether it be Curse of Spawn or Sam and Twitch or, you know, miniseries like Angela the Violator, we'll likely be covering multiples just because we don't want this to take forever. We do want to get caught up. So with all that being said, last issue 73, we saw the Heap make his appearance. Really interesting character. And that's where this issue picks up. So let me go ahead and dive into the book here. As you can see from the credits page, story by Todd McFarlane and Brian Holguin. It's not clear who's actually doing the scripting, which is interesting because we'll talk a little bit about some of the scripting, some of the language that's used as we cover this. Capullo's handling the pencils, Danny Mickey on inks. We've got lettering and copy editing by Tom Orzechowski, and colors by Brian Haberlin and Dan Kemp. I also want to point out that they're still doing the little Spawn summary, if you will. So it talks about what happened last issue. We won't go over it since you guys probably just watched 73. Well, it's been a few weeks now, probably. But anyway, you can go back and look at 73 if you want to jog your memory about what's going on. So some humor here as we start. We see Sam and Twitch in their office, and Sam's making some offhand comment about, you know, this guy looks unbelievable, steroid free. And meanwhile, Twitch is looking at the file on Al Simmons that Cagliostro left behind. He's like, you think Al Simmons was on steroids? You know, that might explain his tremendous strength. But Sam's like, no, Twitch, you don't understand. Like, this is all about carb loading and vascular development and all these advanced nutrition system. And he shows him this this centerfold of this guy who, clearly, there's no way this guy could naturally look the way he looks without taking some kind of steroids or growth hormone or something. There's just no way, right? And you can tell by the look on Twitch's face. I love what Capullo does here. Just zoomed in on the eyes, but the skepticism is real, right? With the eyelids half down. And of course, Sam's, you know, fantasizing, that's going to be me in a couple months, just you watch. We know that's not the case. Twitch knows that's not the case. I think deep down, Sam knows that's not the case. But it does make for a little bit of a lighthearted entry into the issue here. So Twitch is like, that's all very compelling, but let's talk about Al Simmons. You know, he's like, I've been doing all this research. The guy is a national hero. He took a bullet for the president. Then he joined Black Ops. He was in the places where there's a lot of unrest, if you will. He, again, this is the 90s, so he's mentioning Angola, Nicaragua, Cambodia, and he talks about him marrying Wanda, but he still, quote unquote, travels a lot. And his best friend was named Terry. Does that ring a bell? And Sam's like, Terry and Wanda? Yeah, the little girl that got kidnapped. He's like, yeah, I thought that would get your attention. And they all reported to the same guy, Terry and Al. They both reported to the same guy, Jason Wynn. That gets Sam popping up out of his seat saying, what? What's that son of a bitch have to do with this? And that's where Sam says, well, that's what I can't, or that's where Twitch rather says that, well, that's what I can't figure out. Simmons dies in line of duty. Terry eventually marries Wanda Blake. And what happens now? What's the next step? What's the missing piece? And Sam does say, well, if he's a dead guy, that does explain his horrible complexion. And I love this line. And again, this gets into this is really great scripting. And I don't know if it's because Brian Holguin has been added to the scripting on story, or McFarlane's just getting better at it. But Twitch says, yeah, unfortunately, while that might explain the his complexion, him being dead, it doesn't explain the get up and move around part, right? Like dead bodies don't get up and move around. So Sam, you can sort of see that his wheels are turning, in that upper right panel there, wheels of his brain. I mean, for all his dishevelment, we kind of like a Columbo-like guy, right? Like he doesn't look like he'd be particularly bright. He's unkempt, but really a sharp guy when it comes to doing his job and figuring out mysteries and that sort of thing. He's like, yeah, Jason Wynn, there's got to be something to do with Wynn, because Wynn, Simmons ties into Wynn, and Wynn ties into Senator Jennings, who ties into Billy Kincaid. Remember, because Kincaid kidnapped Jennings' daughter and murdered her. And then that ties in with Chief Banks, because Chief Banks, that sort of was what put Sam and Twitch on Chief Banks' radar when the corpse of Billy Kincaid showed up in their office. And at the end of the day, Sam still wants to sort of figure out or have some vindication about why they got kicked off the force, right? Like prove that they didn't do anything wrong, that sort of thing. Not necessarily because they want to go back, although I sort of think Sam would, and probably Twitch as well. But again, they're in a way they're just trying to clear their names. And so Twitch is speculating as well. He's like, well, Jason Wynn, CIA, Black Ops. Could it be that Al Simmons is still working for the CIA, some kind of experimental project? But after he thinks about it for a second, he's like, no, that doesn't really fit. There's pieces of the puzzle that are missing. It does seem like Spawn has been antagonistic toward Wynn, although they don't know to the extent that we know that he's been antagonistic. But yeah, it doesn't fit. So Sam gets himself all worked up, and he's like, all this has been verified. You've checked in all the databases. And Twitch is like, well, there's a lot of stuff that's blacked out, right? A lot of stuff that's redacted, what he calls dark areas that they're not allowed to get into. So again, part of it being that Sam just wants to solve the mystery, but also again wanting to clear their name. He's like, well, we're going to get those answers, even if I have to pry them out with my bare hands. And Twitch is like, what do you mean by that? He's like, we're bringing them in. We've got at least enough to hold Spawn, which is interesting. He uses that terminology, right? Dude, you're not a police officer anymore. You don't technically hold anybody. But he's like, yeah, we're going to bring him in. We're going to go to the alley. We're going to find him. So meanwhile, in that alley, the fight between Spawn and the Heap continues, which it takes several pages for this fight. And really, the storytelling here and the kind of the value of these pages is in the art. There's some sort of flowery language, sort of saying that, yeah, these are two very powerful beings and they're fighting each other and whatever. But you can almost skip the dialogue and the exposition boxes on these pages, because they're not crucial, right? They're not really adding anything. It's sort of setting the scene, as the Heap is battling. It's like a plague wind. There's gusts of wind through the alley and dust and litter and what have you. And Spawn's yelling, yeah, let go of me. These alleys belong to me. And it talks about him punching Heap and kicking him and whatever, but his attacks being relatively ineffective because of, he is just punching a pile of garbage. How can you there's nothing to break. There's nothing that you can sort of destroy or any real way to stop the heap, if you will. But the other thing that I want to point out is, you know, it does talk about, you know, dust and debris and that sort of thing. And especially in recent comics, I've been sort of critical of when people use like an ink splatter on a page. It makes it feel messy and that sort of thing. Capullo uses that technique here, but it completely works in this context because, you know, as these two beings are battling, there is little bits of debris that are flying off the heap. There's bits of debris that are being kicked up in the air from all the garbage and detritus that they're fighting in. So it makes sense in this context, as opposed to a lot of other times people put it in just for some texture, and I don't particularly care for it. But I did want to call it out here in case anybody, you know, is reading along and they listen to our other content we put out, and they're like, "Well, Jace always calls out the ink splatter, doesn't like it, but he lets Capullo get away with it here." Again, it's here for a purpose. There's not, you know, a reason for it. There's a story reason for it, I guess, is how I should say it. So, really interesting. Spawn literally punches through the heap a couple of times and realizes, man, I'm not going to be able to defeat this guy. Like, who is he? His whole body goes through the heap at one point. So, again, not a lot in as far as advancing the story, but I am glad that they dedicated a couple of pages to this fight because it makes it feel epic. And it also gives a sense of just how futile it is for Spawn to be fighting against this heap, which again, the name is inspired as well. I mean, it's literally a heap of garbage. There's nothing you can do to stop it. So as the fight sort of starts to wind down a little bit, as Spawn realizes I'm not going to be able to defeat this guy, Bootsy and Cagliostro show up. And they say, "No, we're too late." And they get a glimpse at the heap. They see what he looks like. And Cagliostro's yelling, "Spawn, get away. You don't understand what that is." And maybe it's the distraction. Maybe it's just time for the heap to make his final move, if you will. But he literally swallows Spawn up. And here we do get some language that it feels in line with the language that we got on previous pages, but here it's a little more important. You know, it says an avalanche of pestilence careens down upon the Hellspawn, consuming him in its wake. And I give a lot of credit for the scripting. It feels sort of epic in a way. And it's just very descriptive, and it very much describes the action in a way that you sort of get a sense of not just what's happening, but sort of the emotional feel, the foreboding, the ominousness of this. So once that wave of garbage that is the heap descends upon Spawn, engulfs him, the heap sort of dissipates, and Cagliostro and Bootsy are just kind of left there, standing amidst this garbage. So they start digging around, you know, is Spawn here? And they don't see him anywhere. And as they're looking, Cog does say, "You know, you need to answer something for me. You're an agent of heaven. Why are you so concerned with the survival of a Hellspawn? Like, why do you want to save a Hellspawn?" And Bootsy's like, "Man, you wouldn't believe me if I told you." He's like, "Yeah, try me." He's like, "Well, because when Spawn dies, the war starts. Armageddon will come, and we're not ready. Malbolgia has harvested too many souls. Heaven's grown careless recently. If the war begins now, hell's going to win for sure. So we've got to keep Al Simmons alive. We have to make sure that he survives because heaven's simply not ready for that battle yet." So as they're searching for Spawn, they realize that he's not there. And Cog's like, "Well, what are we going to do now?" Bootsy falls to his knees and he starts praying. And it's got the word balloon where he's praying has this like little gold border or whatever. So you can see he's really trying to leverage his powers as an angel, saying, you know, "Heavenly host, we're in dire need. Please send us a sign." And Cagliostro kind of makes light of it a little bit, like, "Don't waste your time. You know, the old bugger doesn't give a crap about anything that happens down here." And Bootsy just goes off on him. He's like, "Don't give me that. You know, I've tried to be patient, but my patience has limits. I've been doing this for years. I've been in this campaign. I've been in this form. And all you care about is yourself. You're always looking out for number one. And I've had it. There's billions of souls at stake. And Cagliostro's like, all right, calm down, calm down. Besides, I think I found your sign. You know, you're praying for a sign. You're praying to God for a sign. I think I found it. And Bootsy says, what is it? And he reaches into the trash and pulls out the sigil of the Hellspawn, right? So these are the sigils that they wear that once an angel hunter like Angela, a seraphim, kills a spawn. This is what they collect. And basically, a spawn can't live without that. Like that's sort of their talisman, their beacon, if you will, their sigil, right? And so if one is separated from a Hellspawn, it means the Hellspawn doesn't exist any longer in heaven or hell or earth or wherever, right? Like it's been removed. It no longer exists. And then the sigil is basically just like a little disc, no longer has any power. And that's what Bootsy says, like if a spawn has been eliminated, then the sigil will be, you know, separated from it basically. And Cognasco says, yeah, I know. He's really gone. Like that's not good. And as he says that, lightning crashes across the sky. Remember, it's been blazing hot for days upon days upon days. Well, now it cools off. There's lightning and there's torrential rain, and the scene shifts to the Fitzgerald household, where we see Cyan there sitting with her little pacifier that's has the shoelace that Spawn used to stitch his face up for a real long time. And she senses that he's gone. She said, oh no, he's gone, mommy. And Juan is like, well, who's gone? She said, the sad man. I think something bad happened to him. And something bad did happen to him indeed, because on the next page, we see that Spawn is falling in complete darkness. And he's falling for a long time. There's no sensation, you know, there's no sense of wind. There's no sound. He's just falling. And he's falling for so long that he starts wondering, you know, what happened to me? Am I truly dead now? Is this a lifetime? Is it death time? And he starts to panic a little bit. He cries out, he tries to shout, but no sound again, because it seems like there's no air to carry the sound. And he just keeps falling and falling and falling and falling. And he starts to reflect on his life. And when he does that, his thoughts invariably turn to Wanda, right? Like, is this the end? I failed, Wanda. You know, I made this deal with Malvolgia to come back and try to reconnect with you. I wasn't able to. You know, he thinks about being a soldier of hell and how, because he failed and he's been defeated, he'll never see Wanda again. And he's thinking, you know, I'm sorry for failing and what have you. And as he's falling, a figure shows up out of the darkness, and it's Eddie Beckett. Eddie Beckett, who found the necroplasm and became the Heap. And he says, I'm sorry, I've been sent for you. They're waiting. And Spawn's like, wait, who's waiting? What, like, what the hell are you talking about? Who are you? And he explains. He says, I'm Eddie Beckett. I'm not sure what I am anymore, but I know that I'm their messenger. You know, I found this bag of green stuff, this weird goo, and it took over my body and turned me into this monster. And I think I'm the leftover of that. You know, it stripped off my flesh and bones, and Spawn realizes, well, that's my necroplasm. It was part of me. And Eddie says, well, I guess that explains a connection. Maybe it explains, you know, why I'm able to be here. And again, he apologizes. He's like, yeah, I don't, you probably didn't deserve any of this. And again, I'm sorry, but I'm just the messenger. And Spawn's like, give me some answers. Like, what are you talking about? And he says, I gotta go. They're calling for you. Good luck. And all of a sudden, this huge voice starts speaking through Eddie, right? He's a vessel for this. Maybe his consciousness is still there, maybe not. But this voice says, Hellspawn, we call upon you in this verdant hour, which is a clue about what's going on, right? And it says, we call upon you to face judgment. Spawn, he doesn't want to hear that. You know, we know how Al Simmons feels about being judged. He's like, who are you to judge me? He's like, we don't care about you. We don't care about your petty war. But you're a threat to our well-being, and that's going to be neutralized. We're not going to stand for that. So follow the light. The Emerald Parliament is awaiting. And he's like, I'm not going anywhere. Spawn says, I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what's going on. He's like, you don't have a choice. This is our domain. It's free from the influence of heaven or hell. You have no power here. And this Eddie Beckett figure, that's this scion, if you will, this mouthpiece for whatever power, has taken Spawn to this place. He starts flying toward the light, and Spawn is pulled along behind him to this portal. And when he gets there, Spawn is sucked through, right? And he's like, what is this place? Where am I? And the voice again says, you're at the heart of the world, the place where everything begins. Welcome home. And as the issue ends, we see Spawn reaching out for what appears to be a sigil. So is he alive? Is he dead? Where exactly is he? How can a sigil exist in two places? Is he about to get his powers back? We'll have to wait and see. All of that will be explained next issue. So it's a little bit of a transitional issue. I think where the issue shines is in the dialogue that's not always necessary. As I said, like actually during the fight, it's not that necessary, but it still adds a sense of tone, a sense of context, a setting, if you will, for that crescendo that happens when the heap engulfs Spawn. The buildup is very, very cool. We get some humor in the beginning with Sam and Twitch, and some context about what they're up to, and a little bit of Bootsy and Cog to sort of really hammer home the point of how impactful it is that Spawn is gone. Obviously, they don't know that he still exists, that he's still alive, you know, quote unquote. He's still conscious, he's still sentient, because Spawn's been removed from the playing field. He's not in heaven, he's not in hell, he's not in anywhere in between. It's almost like he's in another dimension, another reality, what have you, so that he no longer exists in the reality of heaven, hell, earth. And that's why his sigil, he's been separated from it, and it appears that he's dead. So again, all the consequences of that, and what exactly is happening, will be explained next issue. So tune in to, maybe later today, if I release it today, or definitely tomorrow, to check that out. So the art I mentioned, specifically the sort of the ink splatter that we had from Capullo, that I thought was really, really great. I also think the cover with just Spawn in darkness falling is very appropriate. You know, not too often do you get comics where what's happening on the cover is actually happening in the comics. Certainly, this was the, you know, 90s. It happened a little more back then, but this was kind of the time when it started getting away from that, getting more to pinups. But what's interesting is it's such a unique composition. Capullo gets to use a lot of negative space. But this is not something where you would think this is a scene in the comic, but it actually is, right? Because it's such a strange thing to have a completely blank, dark space, black space, and have Spawn falling through it. So it almost looks like a pinup in a way, where Spawn's been defeated, or he's, you know, falling to defeat or something like that. But it actually is a scene in the book. So again, the Capullo art, really, really strong. This is really where he's starting to come into his own as an artist, especially, as I said, on these pages of battle, but even in the pages of Sam and Twitch, you know, using shadow, as you can see there, to give Sam a very ominous look. Just the detail, the fine line work. But yeah, certainly in this battle with the chains and the cape and what have you, and just the massiveness of the heap, and especially when that wave is crashing over heap in that panel where Heap is about to swallow Spawn. It truly looks like a wave of garbage, right? Like the heap stops looking like kind of like a humanoid form, and really does look like a giant wave of garbage. So again, really great job by Capullo. You do sort of wonder, just I don't mean to sound cynical here, but you do wonder, is the quality of the art, so much detail in the fight pages and in the Sam and Twitch early pages, is that because Capullo didn't have to spend as much time on the other pages, you know, the back half to back third of the book, where it's Spawn and this ghost of Eddie Beckett, if you will, but they're in the darkness, they're in the void, they're in the blackness. He didn't have to spend any time doing anything in terms of background for any of that. That's not to say these pages aren't well drawn either. They are. Again, he gets to really go crazy with Spawn's cape. So, and I'll point out this panel as well, where you can see Spawn. Just again, you don't see Al Simmons' face, and even when you do, it looks like chewed up bubble gum. So how much context can you get from that? But I'll point out you could see Spawn. It's almost like a raised eyebrow type expression here. When Eddie Beckett is telling, or the ghost of Eddie Beckett is telling Spawn, you're a threat to our well-being. You'll not, that threat will be tolerated. You'll be neutralized. You can see the skepticism. That's not an easy thing to do when this guy's wearing a full face mask. And half of the, his face is in shadow. So great job by, Capullo. He's truly a master. So, anyway, that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. We appreciate you joining us as always. Don't forget to be sure you subscribe, ring the notification bell, leave comments below. Really glad I'm getting back into this. And hopefully, yeah, we won't miss any more days, and we'll have several episodes a day eventually to get caught up. We'll see how soon I can get that done. The other thing I want to mention is the audio only. If you're checking us out on YouTube, there are over 2,000 past episodes of the Comic Source Podcast, interviews, reviews of other books, convention coverage, all that sort of stuff. So if you're curious about any of the past content, go to wherever you get your podcast, whatever platform or podcast app you use, to search for the Comic Source and subscribe. Really appreciate the support. And yeah, let your friends know as well if they're interested in Spawn, they're interested in comics. I'm really trying to get to 500 subscribers on YouTube so I can monetize. I've never monetized my content before. I never want there to be a barrier to entry. I never want people to have to pay to discover the joy of comics. But it is no barrier to entry if YouTube has given me a few dollars here or there, and it helps offset because it's been 12 years I've been doing this now. 12, yeah, over 12 years. And I've never made a dime. It only cost me money to host my website, host the content, that sort of thing. So it's not an exaggeration to say I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars. So it would be nice to have a little bit of revenue come in to sort of offset that. So I could pay for my new car, which was not cheap, let me tell you. So anyway, that's gonna do it for this episode, everybody. Appreciate you joining us as always. Again, apologies for missing some days, but I'm glad we're getting back on track. So that's gonna do it for this episode. Appreciate you guys joining as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. The Comic Source is a member of the LRM Podcast Network. So when you visit the site, be sure to check out some of our other podcasts like Los Fanboys, our official movie and TV podcast hosted by Joseph Jammer Medina, Netflix and Chill, hosted by Nick and Carrie, covering a wide variety of film and television topics with Game of Thrones and Star Wars as particular favorites. And finally, Mike and Mark's Marvelous Adventures, as these two former athletes share their love of sports and geek culture by chatting about anything and everything sports and geek related. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.